Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to We Dig Plants on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Alice.
And I'm Carmen.
And we as garden designers are very excited to almost be done with bulb planting for this year.
Yeah.
Although I have to confess, we're not actually planting the bulbs. Our gardeners are. But coordinating the bulbs is a crazy, crazy job.
Spreadsheets are involved.
Yes, multiple pages. And we are on to the fun now of garden decor as the bulk of digging is over and we can now stand up, look around, and appreciate some horticulture in winter.
Yeah, it has such winter has such a nice, I guess, being in the business, we kind of think about winter in a very different way than most people who aren't gardeners. It is a downtime. It is a time to, like, take a breath, you know, and kind of appreciate the garden in a quiet way.
Exactly.
Which is great.
So to help us do that today, we have an amazing friend, Todd Carr, on our show. He's calling in from Maine, and he's going to talk about some great winter and seasonal decorating ideas, because, of course, everything good comes from Maine.
Yes.
But first, our horticultural honor roll for this week.
Thank you, Joe. This week, we are on. It's kind of a dual honor roll. We're honoring Gaultheria, which is a winter plant.
Winterberry, wintergreen,
that when you buy wintergreen gum, it's supposed to mimic that flavor. And the green leaves are evergreen, and when you crush them, they have a wonderful scent, even better than the artificial gum scent. but anyway, Pear, or Petra Kalm, K-A-L-M, was a plant explorer, and Jean-Francois Gaultier, in the 18th century, middle of the 18th century, they were botanist appointed king's physician to Quebec, Canada. These two guys are going to be honored today. Now, Kalm was a Swedish botanist who sailed for England in November 1747 and remained there for some months. And then he reached Philadelphia in September of 1748. There he met the leading American naturalist and set out to learn all that he could about the natural history of the British colonies. His instructions from the Royal Swedish Academy of Sciences, however, were to spend as much time as possible in Canada since its climate was thought to be similar to that of Sweden and Finland, and so he proceeded north. When Pierre Kalm came to Quebec in 1749 on a botanical exploring voyage, he was received as an official guest. All his expenses were paid by the administration, and Gaultier, the foremost naturalist in Canada, served as his guide, organizing the botanical expeditions in the regions about Quebec. Now, under Gaultier's guidance, Kalm's 2 months of botanizing excursions in Canada were so fruitful that he compiled from them a quote-unquote Flora Canadensis, which unfortunately remained in manuscript form and has disappeared today, but which Carl Linnaeus consulted.
Yes.
So in recognition of Gaultier's services, Kalm decided to honor the genus Gaultier with his name, Gaultheria, which is our wintergreen, as I said. And this genus comprises about 150 species distributed from Asia, the Pacific, and the Americas. Some 25 or 30 species are used in horticulture as background greenery or sort of ground cover carpeting type.
Yeah, and that's a plant that we use.
Oh, it's great. It's great in planters and little pots.
Yeah, we use it for seasonal decor and right.
Yeah, one of our favorite landscape architects, Kim Hoyt, loves to include them. And they're usually available in little quart size pots. Mm-hmm. And they're just great. They smell good. They're evergreen. They have juicy red berries. So use it.
Yeah.
And think of Calm and Gaultier when you do so.
And Canada.
Well, we have another great northerner.
Yes. So
with
Todd,
us today.
Welcome.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. So let me just tell our listeners a little bit about you, Todd. You're a very old friend of ours. And we met Todd several years ago, and he managed our store, which is now closed. But Todd was amazingly creative, and he really made a silk purse out of a sow's ear.
Oh, you guys are sweet.
When
Thank
we had
you.
That
Can
store.
I just say that he was the brightest spot of that experience.
Absolutely.
His smiling face every day.
And
showing,
his positivity.
We literally gave him an empty lot, and he turned it into a jewel of a garden center.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I love working with you guys so much. I miss you guys.
So he now resides in Maine, lucky guy, and he is the director of retail operations and marketing at the Snug Harbor Farm in Kennebunk. And he owns a great design company as well, Hort and Pot. He's an artist, a ceramicist, and a beautiful painter, and one of the most gentle souls that we know.
And he's beautiful inside and out, I just might add.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Okay,
so
with all those warm, fuzzy feelings, how cold is it up there?
It's been mild the past couple days, but it gets really cold here.
Yeah.
It does. And it's more about the darkness, though, more than anything else. It gets dark here a lot earlier than it does down in New York. You know, even in the Catskills, I don't remember it feeling so dark all the time.
Yeah, I hate
so
the lack of light.
So everybody goes in hibernation mode up here.
Yeah, I hate the lack of light in winter. It drives me. That's the thing that's most depressing for me.
Yeah, it's not so much the cold as the light.
Mm-hmm. Or the snow. Like, I like that, but it's just that 4:15, lights on and settle in. Oh, I hate that.
And it throws your, exactly.
It throws your whole rhythm off, I think.
Yeah.
So I have to ask you, Todd, what made you choose Maine? I mean, other than the obvious beauty and like pristine air and water and
seafood
and beaches, what made you go up north?
Where I work, Snug Harbor Farm, it's probably the most magical nursery I've ever been to in my life. It's Tony, the owner, Tony Elliott. He's been building this company for over 20 years, and it is an outstanding place, and everybody that walks into there is blown away. They're just blown away.
Yeah. It's like
his aesthetic. He's got that Yankee aesthetic, and he created that, and he has been under the radar for years and years and years, and he's a brilliant man. And it's just been, when I went up there when I came up here last summer, I did a Brooklyn K-turn in the middle of the road, and, when I drove by the place and pulled in the driveway, I was like, where's the owner? I want to meet the owner. And I met him, and, it's history from there,
Oh, great. Well, he's lucky to have you, too, Todd. I mean, it sounds like it's
a good fit.
Sounds like it's a good fit, because the things that you can create with, found objects are unbelievable.
Yes.
So I have
just
to ask
things that you find.
Yeah. So I have to ask you about the Yankee aesthetic. All right, tell me, how would you describe that?
It's Tony's. I mean, there's a Yankee aesthetic in garden design that he really, he takes me around the properties and I'm blown away. Like, I'm so used to being constrict with my design aesthetic. I'm kind of more, I look at structures, like the house, architecture, and that really reflects me. But he's more about the land and the way it really should be. This one property he designed, he actually put knolls in, he actually just built knolls. Like, there was not huge expansive gardens. It's just like very main, like rocks, boulders where they should be boulders.
That subtle wildlife.
Like a very simple aesthetic,
Well,
and it's like reflective. Got, like, the farm is kind of running down a little bit, but that's part of it,
yeah,
know, it's just, it's that Yankee aesthetic.
Well, I have to say, I look at your website all the time. And the one landscape project that you guys did, I guess it's in Biddeford, the pool.
Biddeford pool, yeah.
Oh my God. That is like my secret little happy place. And that's why I want land, like to do projects like that, you know?
Yeah.
When you're working in the tri-state area, you don't have that wildness. It's hard to achieve that. Well, I should say it's hard to achieve that wildness in suburban environments, you know? It's really hard.
And in urban environments.
And in urban environments.
Yeah. But I think it's more like the main, you know, this area dictates kind of what you can do. And when you see something contrived, you know it right away.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that's what
and there's some landscape designers around here that just don't know anything, you know, but you know, Tony's got it. He's spot on about it.
Yeah.
So
good. So do you remember, I don't know is Ready Made magazine still around? Do you remember that Ready Made magazine?
Yeah. I remember Ready Made. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they had that great, article every month, and it was called "So How'd You Get That Awesome Effing Job?"
Yeah.
So what happened? You just kind of like went up there, and like you said, you drove in and you met the guy, and how? But
I drove in, searched around for Tony, the owner.
Was he advertising?
I have to meet him. What's that?
Was he advertising for somebody, or just ironically?
No. This is the best story. It's like I was running around the farm, and Stacy, who's the general manager, I'm like, I saw her like out like with the topiaries. I'm like, where's the owner? I have to meet him. She's like, he's in the chicken coop. And he's like in the chicken coop, which we have on the farm, which is amazing, this big giant coop. And we have peacocks and we have all kinds of birds. And he was feeding these little chicks. I'm like, hey, Tony, I'm Todd. I'm from Brooklyn. I just want to introduce myself. And he's like, you want a job?
No way. It was that fast?
Yeah, it was that fast. And I was like, no. And then I left, and my brain started going, and I was like, that was weird. It was just like we really fit, you know? So.
Great. Good. Well, you seem
really
happy.
And then I just kept on coming back up. I kept coming back up in the fall, and I came back up in the winter, and, you know, I fell in love with Snug Harbor Farm in Maine.
Right.
You know?
Well, and Kennebunk is a beautiful place. We used to go there as when I was a kid, before it got all like fancy like it is now. I remember actually during the first Desert Storm, laying on the beach with my dad, and my father was complaining because we couldn't get any sun because all the helicopters going to George Bush's estate in Kennebunk were crowding out the...
The Secret Service descended on the town, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Because he still goes up there.
Yeah, that's the family compound.
Yeah, summertime, it's crazy up here.
Right. Okay, so tell us about some of the beautiful things you're working on. I saw that you just posted on Facebook some Maine ornaments.
Oh my God, they were beautiful. All those shells and sea
glass. That's me personally. I just got back from beachcombing today. Like, there's a beautiful beach up the road called Goose Rocks Beach, and I'm up there, and I got, I've been collecting shells all summer, so I just, my kitchen table's covered with shells, and I've been hot gluing, you know, ornament wire onto each single shell, and then I went beachcombing today. I got some float rope, which is old lobster rope, and that's going to be the garland for the tree, and I just got my tree yesterday, and it's amazing, you know, so excited for having my first, you know, Maine Christmas up here.
Yeah. See, that's what I think makes you unique, Todd, is that you look around at the natural environment and you use what's at hand. You're not, you know, we were just talking about fabricating things. Like you're just using the natural environment and not, you know.
And Todd used the word contrived before.
Right.
Your work seems uncontrived. Your ceramics, all the things that we've seen, mm-hmm. you know, you make, and you work in all the different mediums, you know. So we thought you'd be a great guest to inspire people today. Don't copy what Todd is doing. Understand what, like,
where the ethos is.
Where the ethos is and how he uses his environment, whether he's in Brooklyn, New Jersey, you know, he could be anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to work
what's around you. You know, that's the most beautiful thing about it. It's like, you know, go to the grocery store and just pick some stuff up. I remember making wreaths for you guys, you know, outside New York, and I would just, you know, I remember cutting clementines, like making these bird, remember those bird wreaths I made?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and we hung them up on the tree outside in front of the shop, and that was beautiful. Like, I put clementines on the wreath, and then I'd, you know, cut them in half, and then I'd take pine cones and wrap them in seeds, and
yeah,
with the peanut butter and wrap them around, and people loved them.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah. So tell us, tell us about some of the other things that you're doing at the store.
We're super busy. It's Christmas Prelude is this coming weekend, so it's like this big giant thing in Kennebunkport, and it's two weekends in a row. But so we've just been decorating like crazy. We made like twig chandeliers in the there's one in the barn, one in the shop. We're making wreaths. We got our Christmas trees in, planting up paper whites, making terrariums like mad. They're still popular, which
yeah,
boggles my mind that terrariums are still hot.
I know.
Well,
it's like, what's the next gardening trend?
Oh my God, that was
garden.
So 20, 2008.
Yeah, I know.
You're right.
I guess some things take longer to die.
Hey, you know, but wait, they were popular
know,
in the
right?
70s. They came back. So,
yes,
you know, let's not be too critical.
No, I know. I love terrariums, but
and what are you?
What's really cool too is the Kokidama, the string gardens. They're, you know, I'm bringing them. I guess, you know, they were popular in Brooklyn. They started to be when I left, and now coming back up here, like people up here don't really have seen them. So it's like, those are really, really popular.
And describe those for our listeners.
The Kokidama or the string gardens are, you know, like any kind of plant. So begonias work really well. And you just take the root mass and you wrap it in moss and you wire it around. And or you can do string if you want to. And they hang. So they're like string
right.
gardens. It's the
yes.
Japanese aesthetic.
Uh-huh.
But you can do an amaryllis, you uh-huh. know, Kokidama amaryllis. You can do paper whites and amaryllis. You know, Kogidama style, you know,
uh-huh.
it's just, it's really, yeah, those are, people are really intrigued by those.
And tell us, you guys are selling Christmas trees in greens too, right?
Because oh, yeah.
I'm sure you've got a much better selection than the spruces that are on the streets of Brooklyn.
It's very interesting though, believe it or not, like, well, so we got our Christmas trees in and they're just balsams,
uh-huh.
balsam firs. And I went Christmas tree picking yesterday, and I went to this beautiful farm called Carpenter's Tree Farm in Springvale, Maine. And just like an old-timer Christmas tree farm. And I went right up to the owner. I was like, what kind of trees do you have? And he's like, balsams.
And he offered you
like,
a job?
That's it?
No,
yeah. No.
So balsams, that's what he had.
Yeah, I think it's just like the main thing.
Yeah.
The pine trees say it's the balsam tree state. Yeah. There's balsam. That's all you can get is balsam trees up here.
Oh.
And they smell so good.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get here, I guess, balsam and Douglas fir.
We get the firs, yeah.
And that kind of thing.
I love Fraser firs.
Yeah.
I love con color firs are amazing, like that blue-green.
I do,
not,
too.
Like, harsh and...
And noble firs.
Like the blue spruce.
The noble
firs are beautiful.
But what yeah. I would love, this is something that I don't know if it would ever happen, but I would love if you could have a tree that's potted, you know, a pine tree, but that's a little irregular and more, I won't say like Charlie Brown-ish, but you know what I
right.
mean, Todd? Like just a little looser. Do you know what I
well,
mean?
Well, that's why
but
I like
living.
That's why I like
that's
the thunder
where, yeah.
cloud. Like those real pines, like the thunder cloud or, you know, the
the long needle pines.
The long needles, you know? The white pines, you
yeah.
know. I like
yeah.
those for Christmas trees. But, you know,
yeah,
good
I'm
luck
very,
chopping
I'm
those
so,
down.
I'm so picky, and my family hates me when we go Christmas tree picking. Thank God we didn't go this year. Because we're taking hours to find a tree. I don't like sheared trees. I like, and then this place I went to yesterday, he doesn't shear his trees, so they're very natural. So the branches just go way out there.
Good.
And that's great for, like, you can... When you string the lights on the tree, you can go all the way out to the branches, and you can fit tons of ornaments, you know.
And then
and
all the way back in,
very
right.
Very natural look, you know. It's not like a triangle, you know. It can be irregular, and that's what's the beauty in it, you know.
Right.
The tree should really call to you, and look like a Christmas tree, like a tree you picked out of the woods, not something that,
yeah,
again,
and unfortunately
coming off that fabricated thing.
I right. know, and most trees are sheared mm-hmm. because people want, if they're limited by space, you know, sometimes it's hard. It's
Carmen,
hard to
you're
get...
making me want to run from Brooklyn right now.
Well, I will give a tip that I do. I like you, Todd. I don't like to have a very tightly packed tree, you know. So sometimes when I get one, and after it sits for a while and it relaxes, I start pruning it,
clip into it,
and
oh,
open it
wow.
up. Do you
right
know what
on,
I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you
right on.
If your choice is only sheared trees, mm-hmm. then you have to start doing some, like, you know, some, like,
some
manicure,
some pruning, yeah.
Selective pruning opens it up, because you're right, if it's super sheared, you can't fit a lot of ornaments and you can't fit a lot of lights because there's no space,
right?
You know,
yeah.
So I want you to promise us that you're gonna post a picture of your Christmas tree fully decorated so we can share with our listeners.
Oh, totally, yeah.
All right, we have to take a break.
It'll be done tonight. I'm so excited to get my tree done.
Okay, good. Hang on, guys. Todd, stay on the line. We have to take a break. You're listening to We Dig Plants on the Heritage Radio Network.
You are listening to Intrigue by Obesity on the Heritage Radio Network.org. Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Did you know that pollinators are needed for more than two-thirds of the world's crop species? Most of these pollinators are bees. However, North America's bee population has been steadily declining since the 1990s. Whether you live in the country or the city, you can show your commitment by hosting a hive in your backyard or even on a rooftop. The beekeeping movement is growing, so you're sure to find swarms of folks who can help you find your way. Learn more about the ways you can help be the solution at wholefoodsmarket.com/sharethebuzz.
Hi, welcome back to We Dig Plants. We're here with Todd Carr, who's the Director of Retail Operations and Marketing for Snug Harbor Farm in Kennebunkport, Maine.
Kennebunk, Maine.
Yeah. Excuse me.
We're getting all Christmassy.
I know.
I know, right?
So, Todd, let's talk a little bit about the plants that are associated with winter and Christmas, getting a little bit, you know, some inspiration from you about something besides the typical paper whites and amaryllis. What can people use to decorate from their own gardens and also from greenhouses that's a little bit different, that isn't the traditional, like, red, white, and green look?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I really love, you know, trying to think about that, like, you mean red, white, and green as far as flowers?
Yeah. Like, what kind of plants inspire you in the winter to decorate with besides the traditional stuff like poinsettias? And, like, what do they have in the greenhouses now that has inspired you to do decorations and arrangements?
Really? I really like, I mean, it's a flower, it's blooming, and it's not red or white, but I really like pink cyclamen. I really love cyclamen.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're unusual for a holiday flower, you know.
Uh-huh.
Maybe red or white or pink, but they're super pretty.
I always like the dried thing, like, yes, you know, the seed heads, you know, winter, like, garland of berries, you know, yeah. Ilex verticillata, things like that, right?
Yeah,
and we have a ton of it up here this year. Like, you drive by, you know, the woods here, and, like, it's fields of red. Like, the ilex is insane. The winterberry up here is crazy up here this year. I love salix. I love the willows.
Yeah, the willows, yes. Right.
Yeah.
You know, Bob Highland, he really got me into willows. So I brought a bunch of them up here when I moved up here. And, like, Sazel Swizzle Sticks is amazing. We just got that yellow-orange, like, curly Q shape that looks amazing with frost on it, or a little snowfall falls on it. If you stick that in just, like, a, you know, pot, you know, out in your front door, that's amazing.
Uh-huh.
But, I'm very traditional that way. I love the greens. I love
the topiaries. You know, white pine.
I'm very traditional. And the topiaries, yeah.
Yeah. I always like the southern magnolia bounds.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. I just love that cut southern magnolia leaf, and I know that it's not, obviously it's not native to Maine, but just that the decadence of the green and the brown.
Yeah, the fuzziness. Yeah. I love dried seed heads that are sometimes sprayed.
I know.
You know?
Yeah. And Alice, you're from the South, right?
My family is, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, but so. It's like I always wanted to have like fresh cotton or the cotton, you know, yeah. Cotton wreath.
I'm going to get a cotton wreath this year, yeah.
And there's something nice. And there's something to be pulled from gardens. I mean, you guys have a plethora of plants on the farm, but even somebody with a small garden, if you haven't cut everything down yet, you know, right. You can get a lot of really cool stuff to incorporate into, you know, things like grasses. Miscanthus is looking still really beautiful. If it hasn't been flattened by snow, even I found rose hips, you know, pieces of rose.
Yeah, tons up here.
Yeah, the rose hips are great in arrangements, right? Some of the evergreen ferns, I think, are beautiful to put in arrangements.
Then the little
echinacea sea heads.
And those little mini pines.
Seed heads, even though, yeah.
Yeah. And those little mini pines to put in arrangements, you know, like like the 1 half-gallon, you know, the little Japanese pines to mix in.
Yep. Chemosiparis is great. Uh-huh. All the golden leaf things. You know, you can go outside the typical pine and balsam and use living plants in containers, right? And incorporate that into arrangements inside and out, I think. You know,
golden
foliage, you know, and winterberry, people grow them here as ornamentals. And of course, in the growing season, they don't look like much, but they really shine now. You know, that's what
I know, and that's why you should plant them in a distance, you know, and Tony, you know, Margaret Roach and Tony, the same thing, like, that's the way you should do it, is, like, put them in the back border, way back.
Yeah.
And then this time of year, you look out your window and you just see a sea of red.
And that's all you see, right, exactly.
And let's not forget...
It's beautiful.
Yeah, and let's not forget about camellias, right? I mean, even though they probably are not hardy in Maine, but if you're further south... I love having just one or two camellia flowers inside in the winter. It doesn't necessarily say Christmas, you know?
Right.
But it just speaks to, there's the November blooming ones and December blooming ones that are just starting to crack now here.
It speaks
here.
To life.
And life when there's the least amount of light, you know?
Or even like citrus trees. I mean, I don't have them up here, but I remember a wholesaler down by me in New Jersey would have like kumquat, like topiaries, standardized kumquat trees, and they look amazing. You know, they're covered in orange fruit, and it's just something festive. You know, it just brings a different, you know, different energy to Christmas. You know, it's like you're like, oh, what is that? That's kind of not really Christmassy, but it is.
But it is, right. And you know, if you're lucky enough, also then to get the flower.
Oh,
you know? Yeah. Oh, my God.
The scent.
Right. The scent is amazing.
And just the citrus leaves.
Yeah, we have, like, osmanthus. Do you guys know osmanthus? Oh, God. It's blooming in the greenhouse. The greenhouse is covered in scent. I mean, it's insane. People walk in there, and they're like, what is that? And it's such a diminutive flower.
Yeah.
But it puts out this crazy scent that just fills the whole greenhouse. It's insane.
Yeah. And how much... So when you're doing your terrariums, are you using a lot of like rock and moss, and like are you kind of creating that main woodland in your terrarium?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, I live on a tidal creek, and I have this whole big kind of, there's a little ledge here, so there's a lot of rock, you know, we're on the coast, so it's like so moss really takes off. So I have like this huge moss patch behind my house. So I just collect, and I selectively do it, so I don't like rape the whole area.
Right. Yeah.
So I have like I take a little bunch here, so I can grow back.
Right.
But yeah, that's the beauty of it. And we get like little plugs of ferns, and you know, we try to recreate little landscapes and stuff like that in these terrariums. But people love that fairy furniture, I'm telling you.
The fairy furniture, yes. Yeah, there's a whole movement of tiny garden making, yeah. Right, Todd?
Oh, like, my God.
I know. I'm not that into it, but...
We have to have somebody on from the fairy garden movement.
Yes. Oh, my God. We broke down about fairy garden books.
Yeah. Oh, it's a long winter up there for you guys.
So what else are you making? Are you making, I think Alice mentioned to me that you're making Christmas in a jar. What is that?
It's cool. It's like, yeah, I'm doing this like, I started this whole workshop series for the farm and it's been great. You know, we did one in the summer and now this is the winter workshops or holiday workshop series. And Christmas in a jar is basically kind of, and you can do it any time of year. It's just, we took some like oranges and you slice them super thin. And then you bake them in the oven for like 200 degrees for about 2 hours, and you cover them in confectionery sugar, and they become like glass.
Yeah.
And I think last year I did my Christmas tree for my at my kitchen at my old place, and I just covered them, and they shine, they're golden. But we threw them in the jar, cinnamon sticks, star anise, bay leaves from the farm, rosemary from the farm. And you just throw some herbs, just things from the kitchen. And it's all about the packaging, too. So it's like making your own labels, tying things up. And it's basically like a potpourri. So you put the instructions on and you dump it into, you know, you give it as a beautiful little gift, you know, as a host gift or something. And they pour it into like a pot or pan, cover it with water, and simmer it. And it just sits on the stove all day and it just makes your house smell amazing.
Oh. So that's a really nice and useful gift, you know, and pretty and easy to do if you want to do something
and
homemade.
It's sweet, you know, like people don't do, like, why go anywhere else, like to Walmart or something, and buy somebody like a gift card? Like, make something at home for somebody, you know?
Yeah, and those are.
It means so much.
Oh, it's true. Food, like, I love getting food gifts at Christmas. I love the homemade stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Allison, it's just a wonderful thing. Some of the best, even just giving plants to people, people never respond negatively to getting a plant as a gift, as a hostess gift, or as, you know, just a holiday, like, thank you to a client. You know, they love being reminded of their gardens when it's downtime.
Right.
You know?
Well, and also just to bring some kind of natural touch to your life. You know what I mean? People are so removed in their hustle and bustle. So, you know, Christmas is really a time to just kind of settle down and think about what you care about and, you know.
Slow down. Yeah. Slow down a little bit.
And
like,
you guys,
I spent all morning hot gluing.
Yeah.
Or, like, ornament hooks to shells all
That's
day.
So dreamy.
You know, like, slow down. You
Were
know?
You, like drinking bourbon and having New England clam chowder at the same time?
Oh, God, I wish.
So tell us about the homemade soaps. Looked pretty cool, too, that you guys are doing.
Yeah, that's cool, too. It's the same thing. It's, like, just be simple. Like, you can go to, like, Michael's, and you can get, like, a big block of, like, I think it's, like, 20 pounds or 10 pounds of soap, glycerin soap. You nuke it in the microwave, and then you just go through your kitchen cupboard, and you just pull out things that smell good, you know, like cinnamon, you know, like oregano. You could do, like, lemon poppy soap.
Uh-huh.
I really think, to me, it's, you know, it's the process of making it, but it's also the process of presentation, too. So it's like, take the time to make labels. Take the time to find a beautiful string and twine. Take the time to, like, go cut greens out of your yard and, like, make a little bow and, like, you know, just package it the right way and present it the right way. And you see people get how much time you put into that gift, you know, instead of just buying something and wrapping it in paper, you know.
I remember, Todd, when we had the store in Williamsburg, and we were selling trees, and you made the most gorgeous sign with green glitter.
Yeah.
Right? Tell me again.
Wait, did I really?
Do you remember that?
I remember it.
It was, but I forget, like, you did it on a piece of cut wood that we had that was, like, just irregular, you know, it was just like a piece of wood that we had used, you know, for the interior of the store that was just like under our desk or something, and you grabbed it and you, I think you wrote like holiday trees this way or something with green.
Oh, I remember that, yes.
And the sign got stolen.
That Polish restaurant, yes.
And the sign got stolen.
Yes.
Yes, I remember that.
Oh, my God. Todd, you would not recognize the neighborhood now. It's, you know.
Yeah.
It's God. It's so shiny.
Gentrified.
It's very gentrified. You're good. It's good that you went up to Maine.
Yeah.
Also, you're working with succulents too.
Those succulent wreaths that you were making.
Yeah, we were making them during the summertime.
Uh-huh.
That was a workshop we did in the summer. That was cool. You know, people really were digging on that. You can buy these wreaths online. You can probably find them. They're like three dimensional. I don't know how to explain it. It's like a caged wreath with sphagnum moss in it.
Yeah.
But you have to kind of, it's kind of a difficult process because you have to really get in there and get the soil and then put in these little plugs of succulents.
Uh-huh. But they were
Emily,
very
who works
beautiful.
On the farm, is like an expert, and she's a succulent. Like, we're all kind of hoarders up there. Like, Tony hoards plants, he hoards birds, I hoard agaves, and I hoard salix, and Emily hoards succulents, so it's like we all have our own thing up there.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I bet it feels so good to be in that greenhouse. You know, we have one client that has a greenhouse, and one of the most awesome things to do in the winter is to be in there. He has an orange tree and an olive tree, and
yeah,
it's
he has
just
a persimmon.
Yeah, and even if you don't have a greenhouse, if you have, you know, we want to say to people that gardening doesn't stop when it gets cold.
No.
Even if you have a south-facing window, you can grow something beautiful that will get you through the long days of winter. You can have, I have it in my garage. I have two windows in my garage. I have geranium cuttings. I have my lemon trees in there. I have my agaves. I love going in there and watering them in the winter and just looking at something alive again.
Yeah.
You know?
And herbs, fresh herbs. Oh, my God.
You know, if you have
geraniums.
Yeah, yeah, the scented geraniums. I just love that they don't stop. Mm-hmm. As long as you give them some light and some warmth, you don't have to stop gardening and creating, you know,
in
the winter. So, Todd, will people be able to buy things from the farm online, or is it strictly brick and mortar there in Kennebunk?
It's kind of brick and mortar. This winter we're developing our shipping department, which is kind of, it's hard to ship plants. You know, people, there's a high demand for our topiaries.
Like, yeah.
And with the winter up here and stuff like that, shipping live plants, you guys probably know. Like,
yeah.
It's intense.
Right.
You know, and we get calls every single day, like, can I get a myrtle topiary? We're like, it's 20 degrees, and by the time we pack and ship it, we can't guarantee, you know, we don't know, like, you know, it's hard.
Yeah, right. Where is it going to sit? Where is it going to sit in the UPS warehouse where it's,
you
know?
Yeah, it's going to sit somewhere in a
freezer. Well, it's got to, like, go to Alabama first.
Exactly. It's kind of, like, we're playing that out this winter, so hopefully by this summertime we'll have it, you know, the shipping department will be ready to go, and our online store will be up. But for now, yes, we kind of do take orders, and it's kind of first come, first serve basis kind of thing.
And you can ship non-perishable things, right? The things that you make?
Yeah. Things in the shop, things like that, yeah. But plant material, it's kind of still, you know, I'm just being honest, it's a little iffy.
Yeah, sure.
We're still trying to figure it out.
Well, I actually had some lobsters shipped to my mom, like 2 years ago from, you know, obviously from Maine. Like, I had them shipped to Connecticut, and there was a terrible, like, nor'easter, and, you know, it was, you can't get that from here, and those lobsters didn't arrive on time, and then they showed up 2 days later, and my mom was like, I'm not going to eat these two-day-old lobsters, you know, that have not
been. Where were they sitting for 2 days?
Exactly. So she was like, thank you very much, but, you know, and the lobster company was great, you know, they refunded us our money, but, you know, it's, the shipping thing is dicey, you just never know.
Oh, it's a whole other aspect of the business.
Yeah.
Know, like, getting into that. And that's, you know, going back to, like, Bob Highland and Andrew, it's just like, they never got into shipping plants. It's just, it's a whole other entity of a business.
Right.
When you're in a nursery business, you know, it's just, it's a different department, you know, and you have to develop it.
It's a different business. You know. It's a totally different business model entirely.
Exactly.
It's just a different business model.
Somebody has to be on top of it, packing, shipping. It's crazy.
Right. Right.
Well, that's why you just, people, you have to just go up there and experience it for yourself.
Yeah, that's kind of our aesthetic of, come up.
And then you can go to Sarah Beth's and load up on all that delicious, or not Sarah Beth's, Stonewall, that food company, right?
Are they up there too?
That's in Wells.
Yeah.
Well, I have a feeling, Todd, that after you post your picture of your Christmas tree, the nursery is going to get calls.
Yes.
Can you do that? Can you make that for me?
God.
That'll be $1,500.
Yeah. I have to take like 4 days beach combing. Okay, cool. Yeah.
But I think I need to go to the Caribbean to do some beach combing.
I hear ya.
Well, Todd, thanks for joining us and sharing with us your warmth and all of your creative ideas and just your inspiration. And it's always great to follow you guys at Snug Harbor Farm. You guys are always doing fun things. So, Todd, give a plug. Give the websites for Snug Harbor.
Yeah, it's snugharborfarm.com.
Uh-huh.
And it's snugharborfarm.com, and I Facebook every single day, and we have an Instagram page, Snug Harbor Farm, hashtag, and I blog once a week.
Okay.
And, yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
that's
so cool. So Todd is, he's, you know, like we said, he's just this gentle, sweet soul, and I feel really lucky that we have you as our friend.
Yeah.
Oh, me too. Thank you so much. That's really, really sweet that you guys said that. That's
so
really
are you coming back to New York, New Jersey for Christmas?
Yeah.
To see your family?
I can't wait.
Good.
Yeah, for a week. Okay. So hopefully maybe we guys can meet up.
Yeah.
And we will be at, I'm going to tell you, we're going to be at Plantarama.
You are?
You are? Snug Harbor Farm is going to be at Plantarama?
Yeah, I'm going to be like my little booth.
Oh, well, Carmen and I are actually thinking of maybe sponsoring Plantarama.
Oh, cool. As a partial sponsor. Tony, so I'm trying to get him to come down with me.
Good.
So I think either way, it's going to be me or me and Tony, and we're going to have our little table, and
all right.
We'll be next to Lincoln.
Then we will definitely,
we will definitely then at least have lunch with you, okay? And not at BBG. We'll go to like.
All right, cool. Maybe Franny's.
Yeah, that sounds good.
That sounds great. It's a date. Well, thank you all for listening. Thank you to Jack Inslee for producing and Joe G for engineering the show. Please join us on Facebook, Groundworks Inc. We Dig Plants, for weekly giveaways and cool ideas from Todd, from us, and from our other gardening friends. Thanks for listening.
Keep gardening.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.